You have your Bibles with you. You can turn to Luke 5. I'm not going to quite get there yet, but we will get there. So Luke 5, verse 17 is where we're going to be at today. So last week, I posed a question. I don't know if you remember it. I think I said it about 27 and a half times. How is your soul with the Lord? How is your soul with the Lord? And I asked that question in part because it's good for us to know. It's good for us to know where our soul or where our life with God is. That we can ask these questions, and as that question gets asked over and over and over, as we kind of reflect on that question, it tends to get deeper and deeper and deeper. And we even discussed on how, like, you could put on a scale of 1 to 10. And honestly, you know, Jesus doesn't matter whether or not you're at a 1 or a 10 or a 4 or a 7 or a 6. Or you're like, I'm at a negative 3. Jesus doesn't care. He cares just where you're at. And then he's like, I will take you from here. So I want you to be thinking about that question as we go through the passage for today. We've been discussing about and looking at some stories of how people have sought Jesus, and in their seeking out, what they found. And so in Luke 5, starting in verse 17, it's probably one of, I just come back to it as just, I have a lot, but it's probably one of my favorite interactions that Jesus has. And so this is what it says. One day while Jesus was teaching, some Pharisees and teachers of the religious law were sitting nearby. It seemed that these men showed up from every village in all of Galilee and Judea, as well from Jerusalem. And the Lord's healing power was strongly with Jesus. And some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a sleeping mat, and they tried to take him inside to Jesus, but they couldn't reach him because of the crowd. So they went up to the roof and took off some tiles, and they lowered the sick man on his mat down into the crowd right in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, "Young man, your sins are forgiven." But the Pharisees and teachers of the religious law said to themselves, "Who does he think he is? That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sin." And Jesus knew what they were thinking. So he asked them, "Why do you question this in your hearts? Is it easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or 'Stand up and walk?' So I will prove to you that the Son of Man has the authority on earth to forgive sins." And then Jesus turned to the paralyzed man and said, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And immediately, as everyone watched, the man jumped up, picked up his mat, and he went home praising God, and everyone was gripped with great wonder and awe. And they praised God, exclaiming, "We have seen amazing things today." See, what a fascinating story. What a fascinating story. Jesus seems to be in this house teaching. He's just there, and all these teachers of the law and people are crowding into this house to hear Jesus teach. I mean, whether or not the Pharisees are there to try to trip Jesus up, or they're just trying to take notes and they're trying to like build a case against him, and then all these other people are there crowding around the house just seeing if they can hear what Jesus is saying. And so we have that happening in a backdrop, happening in a community. And there's what is probably presumed to be 3 or 4 men that are carrying somebody. Now, as we find out, he's paralyzed and he's on a sleeping mat, which means that he could have been a beggar somewhere. I mean, unless he had a really well-off family that had him in a home and taking care of him. We don't really have all of those details. But this man was paralyzed. There was no way at all he would ever get to Jesus. There was no way at all that under his own power that he would have been able to get to Jesus. And so some people came and picked him up, carrying him on this mat. And it all happened so quickly in the story, but we don't know where he was at in town. We don't know how many steps they had to take in order to get to the house where Jesus was teaching. And so he's on this mat, and it could have been a rigid mat. It could have been quite literally just a glorified piece of bedding, of cloth. And so here are these men carrying them, and they reach where Jesus is at, and there's an obstacle. There's a crowd. And as far as we know, it's a crowd of Pharisees and teachers of the law listening to Jesus. And so the religious elite, at least, are a part of this crowd that are barring this man who would never be able to get to Jesus on his own from getting close to Jesus. And who knows? And we kind of know the intention. Jesus can't do this. That's where their hearts were at. But that didn't stop those men who were carrying that man on the mat that couldn't get to Jesus on his own. See, they somehow figured out how to get him up on a roof, which once again would not have been an easy feat. Can you imagine people trying to get somebody on a stretcher up on a roof, like up a ladder? I mean, maybe there was a hill around because houses were built into hills, and so maybe it was an easy just kind of walk around. But then to get onto the roof, and it's just like, we're going to deconstruct this house in order to get our friend down in front of Jesus. Like, I'm sure Jesus' teaching kind of stopped at about the point that they had heard footsteps on the roof. What is going on? And then as the thatch, one translation says the thatch, one translation says tiles that we read, are moved away, and then what was probably at one point in time a somewhat dark room started to have a skylight. And a skylight big enough to lower a man on a mat down through it. So it wasn't just like a peephole. I mean, this was a human-sized hole. And they're moving the tiles, and they're moving the tiles, and they're moving the tiles, and who knows what the crowd in the house was doing at that point in time. Maybe they were yelling up, "What are you doing?" Or maybe they were just literally there in awe because somebody is deconstructing the roof. And then they see a man lowered down. Either the crowd helped out, or maybe a couple of the friends jumped down through the hole to catch him as he's coming down. I mean, this was probably not a quick process. This was not easy. All the while, either Jesus is acting like the best preacher in the world and not being distracted by anything, or he's just sitting there watching. Watching the effort being put in to bring this man in front of him. Watching the faith and the determination of these friends, these neighbors of this man to bring someone who would never be able to come to Jesus on his own. And so then they finally land there and get settled right in front of Jesus. And Jesus was watching all of this. And he says, seeing their faith, seeing their faith, the faith of those who brought this man in front of Jesus. Seeing their faith, Jesus said to the man, "Young man, your sins are forgiven. Young man, your sins are forgiven." Did you catch that? Jesus saw their faith and then looked at the man who was laying in front of him on the mat and said, "Young man, your sins are forgiven." Jesus isn't addressing the four people who brought the man to him. And so the Pharisees were thinking, "We got him." Not seeing the spectacle that just happened of the determination of these four men to bring this man to Jesus. Not having wonder and awe because of the determination and the faith that they just thought, if we just bring him to Jesus, then he will be well. But that Jesus didn't even do what they probably initially brought him to him for. I mean, everybody kind of was used at this point in time to Jesus healing. But then Jesus throws a twist. "Your sins are forgiven." And the Pharisees are like, "We got him. We got him." But they didn't have the courage to say it out loud. Who does he think he is? That's blasphemy. Only God can forgive sins. And Jesus, being Jesus, knew what they were thinking. And so he went from saying, "Your sins are forgiven," to Jesus being Jesus and hearing the thoughts of the Pharisees and looking up at them and said, "Why do you question this in your heart? Where do you have to be at in order to question this? Is it easier to say your sins are forgiven," which there wouldn't be any kind of like physical change. Jesus is almost saying, it's a lot easier for me to say your sins are forgiven. Because the reality is that it's the life lived after that statement that will show the difference. But Jesus is like, but quite honestly, it's easier for me just to say that. Or to stand up and walk. So Jesus is like, I will have to prove to you that the Son of Man, and at this point in time, they would have understood, he's calling himself God, has the authority on earth to forgive sin. So Jesus turns back to this paralyzed man and says, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and go home." And immediately, I mean, it wasn't this like, we didn't say like, oh, slowly he got up. Because he hadn't used his legs in maybe his entire life. Immediately, as everyone watched, as everyone was there, the man jumped up, picked up his mat, and went home praising God. And everyone was gripped. Everyone was enamored. Everyone was leaning in and praising God with this awe and wonder, because we have seen amazing things today. Remember that question? It's not just for us. How is your soul with the Lord? It just isn't a personal reflective question, and it certainly is that. But it's something that we also get to ask of others. You see, these four people knew that this man was never going to get to Jesus on his own. And they had concern. They had concern for their friend. They had concern for their neighbor and said, we know that if we get him to Jesus, he will be made well. And they didn't even know the kind of well that he was going to be made. And they just thought, man, he won't have to be paralyzed anymore. I mean, Jesus will take care of his physical condition. What they found out is that Jesus is way more concerned than just our physical condition. Jesus is concerned on where our soul is at. Jesus is concerned about where our life is at and whether or not it's gripped by the bounds and the chains of sin and broken. What do you think would have happened if those friends never thought to go get the man on the mat? Do you think he eventually would have gotten to Jesus in some way, shape, or form? Do you think he was just sitting there hoping that Jesus would stroll on by and yell out to him? You see, how is your soul with the Lord is not just for us. It's supposed to be a concern that we have for those around us as well. But here's the other thing that we need to make sure that we know of. You know what these four men didn't do? They didn't go to the paralyzed man who was helpless to get to Jesus and say, like, hey, Jesus is in town, you might want to go see him. They didn't go to him and be like, hey, it would be really great if you got to know Jesus. I mean, he would be life-changing for you. Like, we'll, you know, meet him at this house 10:45, right? Here he's going to put on a great show. No, they picked him up. They carried him. We don't know how they carried him, but since he arrived lowered through the roof of a house in one piece, I imagine that they were careful. They cared for him. They weren't necessarily sprinting and bashing his head on the corner like street post or like, oh, sign, right? They brought him to Jesus. And when there was obstacles, oh, shoot. Sorry. We tried our best. This is as close as you're going to get. Maybe you can catch Jesus on the way out. No. Oh, let's go on a roof. And maybe the man on the mat was probably like, you all are nuts. You're going to carry me up on a roof? And they're like, yeah. Because it's worth it. Whose house is this? You can't, like, demolish somebody's house? Oh, yes, we will. Because it's worth it. And they figure out a way to lower a man who is paralyzed on a sleeping mat in front of Jesus. The care and the thoughtfulness and the determination that that takes should not be missed. And you know what? It wasn't just one person. A friend didn't come and say, I'm going to fireman carry you to Jesus. But it was neighbors. It was friends. It was a community that cared for this man and said, we're going to bring you to Jesus even though you can't get there on your own. They didn't just go and tell him, hey, Jesus is in town. It'd be really great if you knew him. It'd be really great if you could speak to him, because I really think that he could change your life. And it wasn't just, hey, you're kind of in a rough spot, but there's some obstacles and it's just too much work. It's just going to be too much work. I mean, people already, we missed out. Sorry. See, that's not what happened. So let me ask you another question. Who are you bringing? Who are you bringing? Who do you know that just doesn't need to be told about Jesus or talked at about Jesus? Who do you know that is just like, no, Jesus will change this person's life, but I know this person will not get there without a little bit of help. And I know I can't do it by myself, so it's who are you bringing with you to bring the person to Jesus? Who are you inviting alongside? Who are you asking to pray for them earnestly? Who are you asking and making connections to build relationships and friendships? You see, it's just not about telling people about Jesus. It's not just about talking at people about how great Jesus is and how he can change your life. At that point in time, we tend to exhaust our way of encouraging people, and so we're like, have you heard about hell? Because fear is super convincing. No, we bring people to Jesus. We do what it takes. We gather who we need to gather. We come alongside. We do it caring and lovingly. We overcome obstacles for them. We remove what we need to remove. It's not worth it for a church building to be clean and nice if there's nothing happening inside of it. Like if our homes get a little messy because we're going from one thing to another, and we're talking to people about Jesus and bringing people and opening up our homes and having and being hospitable with people, you know what? Our nice things aren't as nice. So be it. Who are you bringing to Jesus? And who are you taking with you? So similar to last week, I want to ask another question. Who are you in this story? Do you feel like you're in a spot that you feel like that you can go to somebody and help them get to Jesus? Be careful that it's not about you. But are you that person in the story? And once again, they didn't do it by themselves. This person wasn't fireman carried by an individual. So who are you bringing with you? Who are you trying to connect this person with in a loving community, in connection and in friendship? Who are you in the story? Maybe you find yourself in a crowd, seeking after what Jesus is saying, but maybe not fully taking it to heart. Maybe you would find yourself, they can't do that. Jesus can't do that. Who does Jesus think he is forgiving somebody else's sins? Who does Jesus think he is healing somebody else? Who does Jesus think he is caring more attention on them than me in the crowd, sitting back and criticizing every move? Are you in a crowd? Are you the religious elite that's quite literally blocking a doorway from somebody who can't get to Jesus? Crowd wouldn't move. Maybe you're the other people in the crowd that you're just watching and you're just kind of sitting in anticipation, and you go away with awe and wonder because you're watching what Jesus is doing. But then what's next? Maybe you feel that, you know, I'm a man on the map. I don't know how to get to Jesus. I don't know how to navigate him. I don't know what I'm supposed to do. He just feels so far away. I feel so paralyzed by either I have to clean my act up, or I feel paralyzed because of past hurt that I have. I feel paralyzed because of relationships involved. I just don't know how to get there. Maybe that's the spot you're in. And you're just praying for somebody to come along and maybe to shed some light, maybe to help bring you to Jesus. The really interesting about the story is that even though the man was paralyzed, he still had friends. He still had those in the community that thought about him enough to care about him. Unless he was an old grouch, that they were like, we're taking you whether you like it or not. Put me down. I don't want to go over there. It's about relationship. It's about a desire. It's about a willingness. So who are you in the story? Who are you bringing along? Who are you bringing along with you? How is your soul with the Lord? Are you truly concerned with asking that question for those around you? How is your soul with the Lord? So I want us to do something. I want us to think about and truly try to act on these questions. I mean, we are going into a time of Easter that, you know, we tend to have more connection with people around Easter time and Christmas because, you know, Easter is a thing in our culture. It's a thing in our culture. And it's a great place for connection. It's a great time to have people around, but it just is a thing in our culture unless they have people to be here with. So who are you bringing along? And maybe you're like, I have this person I want to bring along, but I don't know who to bring with me. I don't know how to approach them. I don't know, and it might be you don't have the relationship yet. Let's talk. I would much rather my day be filled with conversations about that than making a social media post. We'll go dark on social media if it just means I'm having conversations with people about, like, hey, I want to bring this person along and I don't know how to do it. It's going to be way more effective than any social media post that I do. So who are you bringing along? Who do you want to introduce to the transforming power of Jesus, that he just doesn't say, I want to heal and fix your physical problems, which Jesus is like, I'll enter into those. I'll come alongside. But Jesus is like, I'm way more concerned about the bondage in your heart, the chains in your mind, the suffocating of your soul. That's what I want to free you from, Jesus says. So how is your soul with the Lord? Who are you bringing along to Jesus? And who are you bringing with you? Let's pray. God, we are a lot of times feel so unequipped to do what you call us to do. And although it might be a bit of a cheesy saying, it is still true. You equip those who are called. You don't call the equipped. You don't expect us, even if we feel like we're following you, you don't expect us to have all the answers to go and do what you are calling us to do. So help us to rely on you. Help us to rely on one another. Help us to come close to you and know your heart and your compassion and your love. Help us to be like these four friends or neighbors of this man on a mat, and do so with caring and love. Help us not just to talk at people or just tell people about you, but to truly do the effort of bringing them along. Figuring out obstacles for them. And not saying, well, it's up to them. They got to do the work. Evidently, your gospel says something differently. So God, show us, reveal to us, and help us to seek after you, even if we're seeking after you for somebody else. God, we love you and we are grateful that you are with us. And help us as we attempt to help others. In your name, amen.